I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
I'm here with Luisa A. Fuentes, and she happens to be one of my very dear, dear friends and also an incredible attorney. I actually met Luisa. We have worked together with a few different theater companies, primarily Dark Knight Productions. We were first introduced by Danielle Tyler, and Luisa wanted to do a song from Wicked as Elphaba, and Danny happened to know that I was also a Wicked fan, and we did some duets as Elphaba and Glinda, and that was our first introduction to each other. And we have done many duets and shows, and she's a great actress and a great singer. But in her other secret life, or her public life, I should say, she is this really great attorney, and she specializes in family law and particularly domestic violence cases and abuse cases and bullying cases, which is what we're really trying to shine a light on right now. So I wanted to bring her in to talk a little bit about what she does. How are you today, Luisa?
I'm good. Tracy, how are you?
Excellent. I'm so happy to have you in this other setting besides what we normally do as great friends.
It is very different because normally we're on stage or backstage or rehearsing together, and I mean we discuss these kinds of topics, but usually we're just focused on the performances and pleasing our audiences and having fun. So
Exactly. So we'll get a little more serious today, but I think we can still have fun too.
Absolutely.
So rather than me, you know, introduce you and talk about your credentials, I thought I'd talk about it from, you know, the personal standpoint. And you know, I think, for instance, somebody like an attorney is someone that you need to, you know, be able to have a warm and comfortable feeling with, which is why I feel so comfortable introducing you, even though I haven't worked with you in that realm. Like, I just know that you're going to take good care of people. And so tell us a little bit about, you know, how you became an attorney, why you're an attorney, the type of law you practice, and, you know, why you're doing what you're doing.
Well, the path to becoming an attorney was actually my parents' idea. So I can't take any credit for that. When I was, father told me I was going to be an attorney, and he used to read me his law books to go to sleep. So I didn't really realize there was anything else to be until I got a little older, and that's when I started performing. But I was raised in a household where injustice, racism, sexism, homophobia was discussed and abhorred. And I grew up in a family with a strong sense of justice. My mother was the executive director for the Commission on Human Rights under Ed Koch for many years, and actually wrote the first legislation for single-room occupancy, SROs, and for victims and survivors of HIV and AIDS, so that they would not be discriminated against in housing. So my parents were both very active in the civil rights movement. My sister is a classically trained actress from Tisch, where she has her MFA, and she was also part of my parents. She's much older than I am. Sorry, sis. But she was part of the civil rights movement alongside with them, and that was just what we did in my household. I got Barbies, but my mother used to help me make little signs on toothpicks, and we would march them around my room saying ERA and hell no, we won't go, things like that. That was literally how I grew up. I was lucky enough to go to what I consider the best college ever, Sarah Lawrence College, SLC, represent. And there we also had a huge sense of justice. We were part of the class that took over the administration building in 1992 because of their lack of diversity in teachers and curriculum. I remember going down for the women's rights March, where Susan Sarandon spoke. I think it was 1992 as well, going down to D.C. And being surrounded by people who just, we were all the outcasts. We were the weirdos. We were the people that got bullied and picked on in school for being different, for being gay, for being non-binary, for being bisexual, for being artists, for being too smart. And we were all together in this one area realizing our power. And that helped me move into law school, where I went to Rutgers Law School. And again, because of a society there, I was part of a bunch of protests against a group called the Federalist Society, who espoused very racially divided theories. And we had marches for the way that students were being treated by other students. So social justice has always been in my life. And I'm very lucky to say that I've also been surrounded by people like you and Danny and others who have fought tirelessly for rights and love to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, and I think probably the genesis of even us getting to this point of me asking you to do this was the show we did last year, where we finally did, you know, bring the Let Freedom Ring theme to our musical, and you know, really tried to speak to the justice. And you know, I also my Barbies didn't protest, but I never had a Ken doll, so my Barbies were very independent. They didn't really date; they just sort of, you know, did their own thing. So I'm there with you.
Absolutely, and some of them I actually even colored brown, because back in the 70s there really weren't that many brown dolls.
Right, there really weren't. I know.
But after law school, actually in law school, I got pregnant, and I was a single mom, and I gave birth to my son Jacob, and at 2 years old, he was diagnosed with autism. And I hadn't worked, because at that time, in the late 1990s, new mothers were not exactly considered fodder for being associates in law firms. So I stayed home with him for 2 years, but my first job was actually as an adoption social worker, and I was able to work with children who were abused and neglected, families that were torn apart through intimate partner violence, also known as domestic violence. And I'll explain why I separate those two things in a little bit. And I know how difficult it is to hear that your child is different, that your child has special needs, that things will not be what you imagined for your child when you were pregnant with them. There will not be graduations or proms or grandchildren. And I know what it's like to have to fight to get your children or your child's needs recognized, and how hard it is to convince school districts that they need to spend money to ensure your child has the best education and receives the services that they deserve, regardless of the price check or the price and the price tag. That was part of my experience in becoming an adult. And then after working for an adoption, the foster care place, I ended up working as an advocate for people who were in the criminal justice system trying to do alternative to incarceration programs. And a lot of the women who were in the criminal justice system as defendants had histories of sexual abuse, of violence at home, of being abused and neglected as children, of being abused by their intimate partners. And that piqued my interest in learning more about what that plague of our society does to women and children, and how it affects everybody in society.
Right.
And the reason I, most people hear about domestic violence. The reason I separate it from intimate partner violence is domestic violence is in New York State classified as somebody who is committing illegal acts against you and there's a certain relationship, former or current intimate partners, former or current spouses, people who live in the same household, parent, child, and people, even though they were never married, who have children together. Those are...
sometimes even like siblings and that can
absolutely
be
siblings,
domestic violence,
right? Aunt and nephew, uncle and niece, cousins, up to, I believe it's second removed. That's domestic violence. Intimate partner violence is violence committed by somebody who you have an intimate relationship with. It doesn't necessarily need to be just sexual, but sex is one of the factors, of course, looked at.
Right.
And the dynamics are different. There's a power dynamic that is very different in a parent-child abusive situation than there is in a partner situation, an intimate partner situation, where people are usually within the same age ranges, usually within the same economic statuses. But when there is a jump in the dynamics, when there is any kind of power difference that can be exploited, that's usually what's seized upon, and then it tips the scales. And that's what I ended up focusing on for the remainder of my career, even up to now. I was a social worker for a wonderful agency in Westchester called My Sister's Place, and we worked with victims of intimate partner violence who may have issues with CPS, Child Protective Services, who may have immigration issues, who even, and in some cases there was no intimate partner relationship, but they were being trafficked by people who then brought over from various countries to work or be slave labor or sexual slave labor.
Wow.
And that opened my eyes to a whole new world and a whole new understanding, and seeing how people who were affected in these power dynamics and these struggles, how not only did it affect the people involved in the relationship, but it affected the communities. It affected the police. It affected their larger families. It's really a societal virus.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we in America also suffer from what I call BTV, which is blame the victim.
Yes.
And that disease is in many ways even more deadly than the disease of intimate partner violence and trafficking.
Absolutely. I'm going to take a brief second and just pause so we can say thank you to our sponsors for the day and then have you continue to tell us a little bit more about the work you're doing to help the people that are victims of these plagues that we're talking about.
Let's take a moment to give a shout out to our great sponsors, Safety Bags, StadiumBags.com, and Tracy's Healthy Habits, and to share a grieving father's thoughts in support of his kind campaign to raise awareness of the tragedies that bullying can lead to.
Hi, it's Dori DiCarlo, founder of Safety Bags, Inc., a line of clear bags and backpacks there to assist with safety issues in schools, offices, airports, different workplaces, public venues, and sports arenas. Both professional and college sports have now adopted a clear bag policy. Anything larger than the palm of your hand has to be clear. With that in mind, we've launched StadiumBags.com for the dedicated sports fan and more. We've been featured on GMA's Deals and Steals, on AsSeenOnTV.pro with Kevin Harrington, the original shark from Shark Tank, Worldwide Business with Kathy Ireland, InStyle TV, and more. Our clear mini backpack, mini messenger bag, and tote bag in four colors meet the size requirements for both pro and college sports. You can visit us at StadiumBags.com, and you'll see why we're the clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
Do you have health goals you can't reach? Tried and failed every plan or gained back what you lost? Every diet works while you follow it, but until you are more mindful of your habits and relationship to nutrition and fitness, you will never maintain a healthy weight. Imagine reaching optimal health, high energy, free and easy breathing, and maybe less time with doctors and medications. I lost 75 pounds 4 years ago and became a certified health coach to pay forward the habits of health. Contact me at tracyshealthyhabits@gmail.com for a free, no-obligation health assessment. We will explore your goals and what optimal health looks like for you. If you are a good fit for our program, my coaching is always free. Become the best you you can be at Tracy's Healthy Habits. That's TRACIS healthyhabits@gmail.com.
Fly high, my angel. These are four words I never thought I'd have to say about my daughter. As the father of three beautiful daughters, I thought everything was perfect. Samantha, Juliana, and Amelia were my life. Depression, caused by relentless bullying, ate at my daughter Juliana. On January 8th of this year, she took her life. Bullying has consequences, and I really don't want any other family to have to go through this. It's an epidemic that has to be rectified. Fly high, my angel Juliana. You're always in my heart.
Join them on Facebook, Juliana Caraturo Kind Campaign. That's Juliana Caraturo Kind Campaign. Thank you.
And I'm back. So, Luisa, tell us a little bit more about how you started to, I guess, sculpt your practice around, you know, realizing that this helping these people that were so marginalized in society, you know, started to shape your work and what it is that you are able to do for them and what it is that maybe they can do for themselves.
Okay. Well, right now I work for a firm in Sparta, New Jersey. I'm actually admitted to practice law in New York, New Jersey, and the District of Columbia. And in that practice, my focus is on family law, special education law, and education law, which includes bullying.
Mm.
I come from this after having been a prosecutor with the Orange County District Attorney's Office for 3 years, where I ran their Misdemeanor Matters program, which focused on intimate partner violence in and throughout Orange County in all the local courts. And I bring that with me to the Fraser firm. So right now I have cases where I've got spouses or even exes continue victimized in their relationships, spouses who are looking to seek divorces or orders of protection, ex-spouses who, even though there is an order already in place, a judgment for divorce, the other side, to maintain power and control in that relationship, refuse to comply with the terms of those orders as directed by a judge, and now we have to bring the matters back before a judge and say, look, Your Honor, this person was told by you to do X, Y, and Z, and they're failing to do so. They need to be held accountable, whether that's money, whether that's forcing them to sell the house that they're refusing to sell, or whether that's putting them in jail for contempt of court. Mm-hmm. The very fact that we need to request assistance on cases like that shows that the dynamic of power and control doesn't end when that divorce decree happens.
Right.
I also help parents who have children with special needs work with or work against their school district in ensuring that their children receive the services that they're entitled to, whether it's a 504 plan, whether it's through CSE or CPSE, meaning the Committee for Special Education or the Committee for Preschool Special Education, or even early intervention services, because we all know the quicker a child gets the services they need, the better their quality of life becomes in the end, and mm-hmm. the better they can meet whatever potential they have Of course, not every child is going to meet the same potential, but every child deserves to be treated with respect, dignity, and receive whatever services and care they need to function in their best life.
Mm-hmm.
But additionally, there is a rampant wave of bullying of our children that is happening that is in many ways 10 times more horrific than the kind of bullying you and I dealt with as kids, because now it happens not only in the classroom, but then it's recorded and then it's posted online so millions of people can watch the humiliation of another human being, of a child, by their peers. And then they can get in on the bullying by laughing at what's happening or having reaction videos to another person's suffering. And we've seen a spate of children actually killing themselves as young as 8 years old because they no longer want to deal with the day-to-day breakdown of their psyche and of who they are during a time when they're just learning to create who they can become.
Yeah.
And my firm helps parents work with, and again, against, I have no problems going against, school boards who are not following what their school districts or what their state laws say they must do in terms of forms that need to be filed, behaviors that need to be stopped, meetings that need to occur when other children need to be addressed. I've seen situations where the staff and the adults are just as horrible as the children, and these kids then feel that they have no place to turn within the school because they're not being taken seriously, or they're being told, oh, just get over it. Or they're being told, are you kidding? That person's our star pupil. That would never happen. I urge parents to not just listen to their children, but I urge them to believe their children.
Yeah. I think that's the hugest. And I literally was just about to ask you, what is your best suggestion for parents? Either I'd say first, what I'd like to know is if a parent knows that their child is being bullied, what do you feel are the best steps for them to take? And actually, why don't we just say that, and then I'll do my second question. So if I as a parent am aware that my child is being bullied in school, in an activity, by a cousin, you know, by whoever it might be, what are the best steps for me to take?
Well, the first thing is ensure that you have the kind of relationship with your child that they can come to you and let you know these things are happening. Because a lot of times parents set the culture for their child to not feel comfortable in pursuing their own self-safety. But if you have that kind of relationship and your child is coming to you saying, Mom, Dad, Auntie, Grandma, whomever, this is what's happening to me. The first thing you do is you contact the school. And we grew up with phones as being our primary way of contacting. But today, through email, what you always want to do is you always want to have a paper trail. First contact should always be in writing and set down timelines and explain the effect it's having on your child. The next thing you always want to do is get that child some help. Because even though they may say to you, Mom, Dad, I'm fine, they're not, because they're coming to you for help.
Right.
And there is nothing wrong with help. If your child came to you with an injury, you would take them to be treated. Well, if they're coming to you saying someone is hurting who I am, they are still being injured, and they need professional help. So those would be the first two steps. Put in writing your concerns to the principal of the school. In New Jersey, every school is required to have a bullying counselor or coordinator. It's called HIB, Harassment, Intimidation, and Bullying. In New York, they usually have guidance counselors or other people in the school, not necessarily specific to bullying, but specific to student needs.
Mm-hmm.
That in writing and make an appointment for your child to see a therapist, or if they are already in therapy, make sure that's an issue that gets explored. Then ask to have a meeting where you are present, the school representative is present, and your child is present, so that your child has a voice and they also have the backup of an adult. Because when our kids go and report it to adults and they're the only person in the room on their side, it can be highly intimidating,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're not believed.
Right, right. Well, and clearly you, to be honest, partially answered part two of my question as part of your answer to part one, but I'm most concerned that I'm hearing from you with, you know, not only the child being believed, but of course, I guess it's really important to have, as you said, the relationship, you know, not to wait, you know, if they're already being bullied and they're afraid to talk to you, like it's kind of too late. So how do we, what are the best ways to make sure that our children feel safe in sharing these incidents with us and making sure that they're going to tell somebody that this is happening to them so they can get the help that they need?
Well, I'm not a licensed therapist, although I
right.
am very close to getting my master's in social work from Fordham. I'm not there yet. But what I can uh-huh. say, as a human being, listen and respect. Check in with your child every day, not just, hey, how was school today? If something
right.
looks off, ask them about it in a non-confrontational way, but ask them about it. Honey, you seem off today. You seem off for a few days. Please, let's sit down. Talk to me about what's going on. I'm here for you. I love you and I support you no matter what. There is nothing you cannot say to me, because no matter what you say to me, I have your back. I am your parent. I am your guardian. I am your sibling. I am your grandparent. And most of all, I love you. That
Where
goes
do
a
you...
long way.
Where do you feel the responsibility is? You know, you mentioned grandparents and other people. Where would you, and I guess I want to know, as a human being, but maybe even more so from a legal standpoint, if you're not the parent and you see something going on and you're not sure, I'm not even sure, you know, this question kind of popped in my head as soon as you said, you know, I'm your grandparent, and I realized that it was probably an important question to get out there before we have to wrap this up. What can someone do if they're not the parent?
They can always report it to an adult of authority.
Mm-hmm.
I am aware of a case where a non-related adult saw one child engaging in unwanted activity against another child and
mm-hmm.
reported it immediately to the administrator on the grounds that they were at.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody would necessarily feel comfortable stepping in between,
mm-hmm.
stepping into something, but
right.
alerting authorities, whether it's the police, but of course that has to be you know, that has to be appropriate.
Right.
If you're on school grounds, then getting an adult of authority there.
Right.
Sometimes,
and again, that would be a principal or a guidance
person. Trying to get authority so that there is some proof of what was happening and to whom.
Mm-hmm.
But never put yourself in a position where you can be injured, but never stand by idly and do nothing where you see someone else being injured, because it doesn't just take a village to raise a child. It takes a village to be a village.
Right. Right. Very, very much so. Louisa, we could probably talk about this, you know, forever. And I definitely think that at some point, you know, I want to talk to you about maybe having you is, you know, kind of a regular check-in for us on these types of matters, where we actually have, in just a couple of days, we've also spoken to Kelly Carius, who works for No Such Thing as a Bully, and which is about trying to, you know, break the cycle And we actually have a parent that we're working with who's doing a lot to try to make sure that other parents don't go through it, what he's gone through, which is that his 18-year-old daughter took her own life this past January as a result of being bullied all throughout high school. And so, you know, we're pretty committed to trying to help in any way we can to end this. And so let people know. I mean, obviously, I think what I'm hearing from you is there's all these steps before someone is coming to you, which is, you know, trying to see if we can resolve this within the family, within the school, within the organization where the incidents are happening. But once someone gets to a point where I guess when you step into the picture is where the proper channels are not doing the proper job in solving the problem.
That's right. And if that happens, you know, please feel free to contact me. Even in some situations, there are parents who aren't comfortable enough being the initial advocate for their child. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a very scary power dynamic. Feeling like you're going up against a conglomerate of people who have this huge impact and can have this huge impact on your child's future education and future, period. That's kind of what we're trained for. That's what we do, and that's my life's blood, to advocate for people who can't or won't advocate for themselves.
So let us know for today how people can get in touch with you. If you know, I pray that there's nobody listening who needs your services, but in the case of someone who does, how can they get in touch with you and your firm to get some help?
Well, the firm I'm with is called The Fraser Firm, and it's F-R-A, S as in Sam, E-R. We're actually located in Sparta, New Jersey, but I travel anywhere. Our phone number there is 973-512-4111. And you can always email me or reach me at Louisa, which is L-U-I-S-A, at thefraserfirm.com.
Okay. And we'll definitely have all of that posted on our sites as well. Louisa, I want to say thank you for sharing this with us today. And I definitely feel like we scratched the surface of the, you know, kind of the overview of this. But I think I might like to have you back another time and, you know, maybe walk us through some of the steps of, you know, when, you know, maybe how to recognize some of the signs and things like that, which I think would be really helpful. So I want to say thank you for being here today, and we'll hopefully talk to you again sometime very soon.
Thank you so much, Tracy, for allowing me to be here. It was an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to speaking with you guys, and good luck, and my condolences to that father.
Yeah, definitely. Family. Thank you. Thank you so much. Make it a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you to our sponsors, Safety Bags and Tracy's Healthy Habits. And thank you again to Louisa A. Fuentes for sharing her knowledge. And hopefully if anyone can use her assistance, they'll get in touch with her. She's really just an incredible attorney in person. As we stated earlier, our next show is Thursday the 24th, and Dori has a conversation with Kelly Carius of No Such Thing as a Bully and David Caraturo, whose daughter Juliana committed suicide as a result of being bullied. Monday, even though it is Memorial Day, we will have Positively Entertaining with Beth Hilton. She's actually sharing a Hawaiian poet with us next week, and there'll just be so much more to come in the coming days and weeks and months. Please remember to be happy, be healthy, and most importantly, to be yourself. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and remember to make today a great day. Thank you, everybody.